176 years ago, in 1836, Frenchman Joseph Nicolet, pronounced Nicolette nowadays, left Fort Snelling by canoe to explore and map the upper Mississippi region all the way to the river's source. He succeeded, and his surprisingly accurate map was used by European Americans in the middle of the 19th century to settle throughout northern Minnesota, displacing the Ojibwe people who had lived at countless villages for hundreds of years. Ironically, Nicolet was guided by two Ojibwe men and their families. The route traveled by the Nicolet party was a water and land pathway that existed before the Ojibwe came to Minnesota, existed before the Dakota lived in northern Minnesota, existed all the way back to ancient people thousands of years ago. The men who guided Joseph Nicolet's party were Shaugobe and Brunia, Ojibwe men of Leech Lake, and this is the story of their journey.
August 11th, 1836, on the bank where the Crow Wing and Gull Rivers meet. It's a cool morning, and fog drifted over the water as Joseph Nicolet and his Ojibwe guides Shaugobe and Brunia shook the members of their party awake. They were one day out of Old Crow Wing Village, and they would head up the Gull River today. The area they were passing through is just plain steeped in Ojibwe history, going back to the early 1700s, Dakota history for hundreds of years before the Ojibwe, and others, ancient peoples, going back at least 8,000 years. White Earth tribal elder Andy Favorite can trace his ancestors to both places.
We are from a place called Geashsagaikan, Ishkonikan. Gull Lake Reservation. And proximal to Gull Lake Reservation is a place called Crow Wing. It's the confluence of the Crow Wing River and the Mississippi River. That was the village my grandfather come from, Andrew Jourdain. And my grandma was a strong, her people were named Mashkawisi. And they were from the Gull Lake village. And the Gull Lake is where the Faubloods lived. And the Mixed Bloods lived at Crow Wing because that's where all the fur traders were. And that's where the trading went on. If you go to that site, you'll see all the names we've talked about. They're on the headstones.
Those headstones can be seen in two cemeteries at Crow Wing State Park on Route 371 south of Brainerd. You can also visit the site of one of the busiest and most populated places in Minnesota, the Crow Wing County Seat, with hotels and bars and banks and churches among the dozens of buildings lining several streets. But that was in the mid-1800s. Today, it's a ghost town. Almost nothing exists of the place, abandoned after thousands of years by Anishinaabeg and whites alike, because the Ojibwe population was moved to White Earth in 1868, and James J. Hill built his railroad to the north through Brainerd. If you go, you will see a beautifully laid out signpost interpretation of the old village on the actual site, the old oxcart path, and one old house, the original trading post run by Métis, that is, mixed French and Ojibwe, Clem Beaulieu. Leech Lake Ojibwe Jim Jones, Jr.
The trading post was located at the state park because that's the location of the Beaulieu store, the Beaulieu house, which is cool because my wife's maiden name, as I mentioned earlier, is Beaulieu. Her grandfather's name was Clem. And I was teasing her the other day here when I was reading Anton's book, and there's a picture of Clem Beaulieu, who's relocated to White Earth. And I was kind of holding that up, and I was teasing the wife. There's a similarity to my wife and Clem Beaulieu in that photograph. And I kind of pointed out to my daughter, I said, look, your ma has the same nose and the same mouth as Clem. Her name and her ancestry can be traced to Clem.
Jim is an archaeologist and the cultural resource director for the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. His family can also be traced to Crow Wing and Gull Lake.
I'm Mississippi man on my mother's side from White Earth. So when I look at that history, and then I look at the genealogy, and that's where my history comes from. I think that's cool because it's important to know where you're from and where your people are from.
Gull Lake and the Brainerd area was home to perhaps the most respected, feared, and influential Ojibwe leader of the mid-1800s, Hole in the Day, Buganagashik.
When I look at and read like Anton Troyer's book, The Assassination of Hole in the Day, and look at how far Buganagashik expanded the Mississippi bands during this time period, and this is about the same time period because he's expanding the Mississippi band throughout central Minnesota, as far west as Long Prairie and beyond, and Otter Tail Lake.
As we mentioned, the confluence of the Crow Wing and Mississippi Rivers had people living there for thousands of years. Archaeologist Grant Goltz says those ancient people were connected to a lot of other people.
These people were trading and traveling and procuring just the raw materials that they were used, coming as far away as what's now, North Dakota or farther west. 2,000-3,000 years ago, they were getting materials from the Gulf of Mexico, seashells. There was materials coming from the North Atlantic Ocean that made their way into this area. People were moving around. Now, whether they got all of this stuff directly, they probably didn't. There was probably a kind of a hand-me-down system. It's what made the fur trade work, by the way, when it did finally arrive here, because this system of moving material goods existed, and it existed along routes, and some of these routes would not have been water routes. To go from here to North Dakota, you can't paddle. I mean, you walk. So there's had to be a whole variety of well-known, well-traveled ways to get from here to somewhere else and back. But it raises some real interesting questions about the interactions of people, thousands of years ago.
But on August 11th of 1836, the ancient people were long gone. The Dakota people were living in southern Minnesota, and the Ojibwe were in possession of northern Minnesota. For Leech Lake residents Chagobe and Brunia and the party they guided north, this would be a frustrating day in their canoes. They struggled all afternoon in the high grasses and disappearing stream bed of the Gull River. Finally, Chagobe hoisted his 10-year-old son way up on top of his shoulders, and the boy spotted and then pointed the way to Gull Lake in the distance. They set the course and paddled straight through the towering sedge and cattails toward the open water. Nicolet's journal states they traveled maybe 25 miles that day on the winding Gull. As the crow flies, it's probably 7.
Tomorrow, a lesson from an elder.
You use all 6 senses. You know what the 6th one is? Intuition. Intuitively, there's a big northerner on that next bulrush. You get a feeling that it's there, and then it is.
For Brian Whittemore, I'm John Sumption.